Why does God allow difficulties in our lives? Well, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, will be taking us to 2 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2 for the answer to that question and so many more, here on Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus as we set off for another great adventure in God's Word. And as you grab your seat and get comfortable, let's enjoy these letters recently sent in by our fellow passengers. First, we hear from Roy in Wigan, United Kingdom. Thank you so much for your world prayer emails and the work that you do in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love to hear how the Lord is blessing your ministry and using it to have a dramatic effect on people all around the world. It's a real privilege to be able to pray daily for these lovely people who I will probably never meet in this world, but I know in my heart I will one day see in heaven. What a joy that'll be. Amen to that. I'm grateful that in England we are free to worship without fear, unlike many of the listeners who share their stories. I will continue praying for many years to come that this ministry grows in strength and gets bigger by the day. Well, thanks for your prayers, Roy. We're so happy that you're a member of our world prayer team as well. Now, if you'd like to join Roy, myself, and thousands of other listeners as we travel the world on our knees, join our world prayer team at ttb.org/pray. Next, we hear from Mary in Long Beach, California. I love listening to Dr. J. Vernon McGee. The way he explains the Bible makes it so easy for me to understand. I have been listening for 2 years, but I have gotten more regular in the past 8 months. The more I listen, the closer I feel to God, and the more eager I am to study the Word on my own. Well, thanks, Mary. And you know, that's so true. The more you read and you understand God's Word, the more you want to read and be closer to Him. May God bless you on this journey. Our last note comes to us from a listener named Antonio. I began listening to you 15 days ago. I am amazed at how much of the Bible I'm beginning to understand. It always seemed like such a mystery. I'm currently listening to your programs on the book of Daniel, and I have begun to look internally. This study is making me want to become a better man, one who stands for God and prays to Him for direction in every circumstance. Well, welcome aboard the Bible bus, Antonio, and thank you for taking the time to tell us what these studies mean to you. And what's your story? What's God teaching you as we travel through the pages of His Word? Well, as we've said so many times before, we'd love to hear from you. So just leave a note. Maybe you can do it on our Facebook page. You can always email us at BibleBus@ttb.org, or do it the old-fashioned way with a letter and a stamp. Send your mail to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. If you listen in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we study your word, help us to come to a deeper understanding of your grace, mercy, and comfort. Open our eyes and hearts to the truth that you want us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, friends, again, as I come back to this very wonderful book of 2 Corinthians, I feel totally inadequate, and that's not just a pious statement by any means, totally inadequate to lift out these great truths. They thrill my own heart. Now, I want to back up just a little today and begin at verse 10 and hit high points again to tie it all together. As you will recall, Paul has emphasized the word comfort, and we saw that that was more than just a saccharine sentimentality. The comfort means to help, to come to the side of, to encourage and strengthen. It has all of those very wonderful meanings. And it means, actually, the word means call to the side of, and it's used to the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul said that God permits us to suffer so that we'll be able to comfort other people because we'll know God has comforted us. And Paul had had the experience. We believe he was sick, nigh unto death, or he could have been in danger of the mob, and we know that he had had many narrow escapes. And he could say in verse 10, without any air of boasting at all, he could say, he has delivered us. Who delivered us from so great a death? What a wonderful thing that was, that he was delivered. And there's no arrogant and proud boasting here. He's walking softly, but he can say with great assurance, he has delivered me from death. And he can say right at the present, he's delivering me. And then, without any boasting, he says, we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul did not know that he would, but he believed that he would. And therefore, on the basis of that, Paul could rejoice, and he could rejoice in the fact that God was permitting him to give out the gospel in that day. Now, he had promised those in Corinth he would come and visit them, but he had not come and visited them. He had failed to do that. And the enemy was saying, well, you can't depend on Brother Paul. He promises something and then he won't make good. And now Paul is going to answer that. And he has to answer it, because back in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, verse 5, he says, but I will come unto you when I pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. But Paul hadn't come, you see, at that particular time. And as a result, why, they were circulating a report that you couldn't depend on the Apostle Paul. And he goes on in verse 12 now to say, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we've had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to youward. Now, Paul can say, and when a man can say this, it's a wonderful thing, when he can say it and it's true. Paul says, we have acted in holiness and in sincerity. That's the way a Christian ought to act. And Paul says, we have not acted with fickleness. It may look that way, but actually, we have not. And he goes on to say here, in a very wonderful way, that God is faithful, the one that he serves. Verse 18, for as God is true, or God is faithful, our word toward you was not yea and nay. Paul didn't say, I will come and then I won't come, as if he's being fickle. Not that at all. Why? Because God is faithful. And God had led him. He was in the will of God. And the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. In other words, the gospel that he preached was a glorious, positive gospel, and it was yea. And you have here not only the faithful God, but the sure Lord Jesus. And not only that, now he moves down here. He says, for all the promises of God in him are yea. Everything's positive in Christ, and in him, amen. And he's called amen. That's his name in the book of Revelation, under the glory of God by us. Now notice, he says, verse 21, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now you have here not only the faithful God, the true God, and the sure Lord Jesus, but you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And I believe very candidly that you have here in this statement at verse 21 and 22, you have here the total ministry of the Holy Spirit today. Now he says here, now he which establisheth us. Now how do you become established, if you please? Paul, you know, had written to these Corinthians and they'd been so fickle, and now he's able to conclude that, and he says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, For as much as ye know your labor's not in vain in the Lord. What does it mean to be established? We believe that's the work of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit convicts. He comes into the world. The Lord Jesus said he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he convicts us. And the second thing that he does, if having been convicted, we confess our sin and accept Christ as our Savior, he regenerates us, you see. And he not only regenerates us, he indwells us. And not only does he indwell us, but he baptizes us. And by the way, this expression here is quite interesting in verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you into Christ and hath anointed us is God. God who? God the Holy Spirit, if you please. And we sing sometimes safe in the arms of Jesus, especially at a funeral. Well, the word here is not safe in the arms of Jesus. Well, you're part of his body. You're put into Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you're not safe in the arms. You're safe as an arm of Jesus Christ, because the chances are you may be a little finger in the body of Christ. Now, what a wonderful thing this is. And he is speaking here now of the work of the Holy Spirit. And he's using present tense. That's what he's doing for you today, friend. Convicts you. And he regenerates you. And he indwells you. And he baptizes you. Now, will you notice, he says here, he hath anointed us as God. Now, this is a ministry of the Holy Spirit which is sadly neglected today. And you'll find over in 1 John, it's 1 John 2:20. And if you would turn there, and I hope you will, and read that, you'll find that we have an anointing. And that anointing is the Holy Spirit. And it takes the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth, you see. We now transfer from the realm of reason to reality, from the hypothetical to the experimental, from fiction to fact. We rise from the theoretical death to actual living. Now, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is at the right hand of God. Now you have here, and I am going to turn and read that after all, in 1 John 2:20, but ye have an unction, that is an anointing, from the Holy One, and ye know all things. How? By the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, the same chapter, but the anointing which ye've received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true and is no lie, and even as he hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now this is a ministry that we believe is all important, though it is neglected. And he doesn't give you a mail-order degree. And this is not knowledge that comes gift-wrapped in a box. I think a lot of people think that. You have the Holy Spirit to teach you, Christian friend, and he alone can open the Word of God to you. That's the reason this is a miracle book. And all Christians must depend on the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus said to his own, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot receive them not. But when the Spirit of God has come, he's going to lead you into all truth. Now that's what he wants to do, is to lead you and me into all truth. Now we have here something else that's mentioned, who hath also sealed us. That is a marvelous ministry of the Spirit. We're told, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Can you grieve him away? No, because he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit's going to deliver you someday. He sealed you, friend. And that's just the same as taking a letter down to the post office. And I've already apologized to the people at the post office, and I sure hope they're going to deliver our mail now and then get our mail to us, by the way. But if you want to make sure, you register that letter, and they put a seal on it. And they guarantee they're going to get the letter through when you do that. All legal documents had that. In witness thereof, I set my seal, is the way it comes down to us from the Old English. And it's a marking, a branding, a mark of ownership. And out yonder in the early days in the West, they had no fences. They branded their cattle. The Holy Spirit puts the brand on you that you belong to God. And my friend, as a little sheep of his, you're not going to get lost. Oh, you might, but he'll come find you. The Spirit of God is the one, like that woman sweeping the floor, making sure that that wedding ring is going to be found. What a wonderful thing. And then, not only that, but you're given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Actually, it's this. You're given the earnest, which is the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Now, an earnest money is money that, you know, you put up, and that means more is to follow. You go and say you want to buy a piece of property, you put up so much. And when you do, that's earnest money, and it means you're going to pay some more. Now, God's given us the Holy Spirit. He says there's more to follow. What a wonderful thing. It's almost like buying on an installment plan, but it's not a down payment, because there may be some defection in the buyer. But there's no defection in this buyer. He purchased us with his blood. Maybe some defection in us. So he put so much down. And when he put so much down, well, that guarantees that the saved soul will be delivered, and it means the saved soul's in escrow today. Now, God has put his Holy Spirit in every believer. He's the earnest. And he's coming to the life of the believer to bring the fullness of God to bear in our experiences. What is it you need today? You know, he's rich in mercy. He's the Father of mercies. What do you need, friends? Why don't you go and ask him? You need power? Do you need joy? Do you need wisdom? Do you need help? Well, these are the comforts, because he comforts us. Paul knew it. He'd experienced it. And you're listening to a fellow today that knows it also, because he's experienced it. Now will you listen to him? Verse 23, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Now, Paul said, if I had come when I said I would come, I would have done what I did in the first epistle. My, that first epistle is filled with correction. And Paul is stern in that epistle, as we'll see in this next chapter. And he says, if I'd come, I'd have been stern with you. But I didn't come, because I wanted to spare you that. I wanted to see if you wouldn't work this out. Verse 24, not for that we have dominion over your faith. Paul said, I'm not the bishop of your soul. I'm not the one lording it over you. You have freedom in Christ. But we're helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand, he says. You'll have to stand in your own faith, my friend. And Paul says that we wanted to stay away that you might be strengthened in your faith and you might grow. And that's one of the reasons, friends, God permits many of us to undergo certain hardships, certain difficulties in our own lives. Will you notice in chapter 2 now, verse 1, he says, but I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. Paul said, if I had come also something else. Oh, I was discouraged with you. And I would have been in sorrow, and there'd been tears in my eyes. For if I make you sorry, verse 2, who is he that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? You see, Paul didn't want to come, and in his sorrow and with tears in his eyes, he'd had them weeping. Then who is going to make Paul glad? You see, they were just both of them boo-hooed in the same handkerchief. That wouldn't have been very good, by the way. Now will you notice? He says, and I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. Paul said, I want to come in joy. And I wanted to get word from you that you'd corrected these things. Now, had they? Listen to this. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. You know, a great many folks sometimes fall out with the preacher when he preaches a message that is rather severe, a message that, I tell you, bears down on the congregation. And they think that maybe he ought not to do that. Well, may I say to you, he's not a faithful pastor if he doesn't do that. I'll tell you that, my friend, because we're told to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And any man that's a minister today standing in the pulpit has a tremendous responsibility to rebuke. But a lot of the saints, they don't like that, you know. And Paul says here, I did it not for any reason that I was opposed to you. It was because I loved you. My friend, a faithful pastor shows his love by preaching the word of God as it is, and not by buttering up the congregation. Verse 5, but if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. He says, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Now, let me remind you what Paul is speaking. You remember back in the first epistle, Paul rebuked them because they were permitting gross immorality, in fact, incest, in the congregation. And they were shutting their eyes to it, and yet they were running around talking about talking in tongues. Paul says, you get this matter straightened out. And you know what happened? They straightened it out. Well, what happened? Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Now he says here, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And I wonder today if we are ignorant of his devices. Now, in the first letter, will you notice, he told them that they must not tolerate evil. They must put it away. Now, in this second epistle, Paul says the man's repented. The man has come and acknowledged his sin. Now, you are to forgive him. You see, the devil sometimes, you know, gets us to shut our eyes to gross immorality. Wish I had time to tell you about how that is today. I know one preacher that has had woman trouble in three different churches, and every church he went to knew his record, but they took him. Why? Shutting their eyes to gross immorality, and they've hurt the cause of Christ when they did that. But wait a minute. Suppose he had repented, really, turned from his sin, which he did not. Then what should they do? Forgive him. Now, the opposite of that is there are a lot of old stiff-backed fundamentalists today. They won't forgive anything. My friend, that can be the work of the devil as well as shutting your eyes to immorality, is not to forgive the one. And that's where Satan gets advantage of a great many Christians. They're so unforgiving. My, I tell you, there are two things you don't hear much today in our conservative churches. You don't hear people asking for forgiveness or saying they're wrong, and you don't hear many people forgiving folk. They have an unforgiving spirit. My, this is important for us to see. Now he says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. What'd Paul do? He stayed there and preached the gospel, because that was the will of God for him. You see, Paul, instead of being fickle, he was faithful. He was faithful to God. And when he was faithful to God, when the door was opened in Troas, in the city of Troy, he stayed there and preached the gospel unto them. But may I say to you, he says here, verse 13, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. Paul says, even when I was preaching the gospel, I was grieved in heart, because Titus hadn't come to bring me word concerning you people in the city of Corinth. Now, will you notice, from here on, and I don't have time to deal with it, but we are going to see now one of the most wonderful things that has to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God today. We'll see that next time.
Well, that's a great teaser for tomorrow's broadcast. I hope that you'll join us and invite a friend to hop aboard with you. To listen online or see if maybe their local Christian radio station carries Through the Bible, you can have them visit ttb.org/listen. Or if you'd like to gift them with all of Dr. McGee's messages in his 5-year study, visit ttb.org/store to find out about our Bible Bus flash drive or our solar Bible Bus player. Each has unique features that our listeners are raving about, so check them out today. Again, the address is ttb.org/store. Now, if you haven't yet gotten your free copy of our newest downloadable resource called Briefing the Bible, I invite you to do it today. It contains all of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for our 5-year study in one volume. To find out more, visit ttb.org/briefingthebible. Our grand adventure through God's entire Word continues tomorrow. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you right back here, and I'll be saving you a seat. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.